The first time I truly understood Jutta was at midnight, sitting on a bench near the King Fod Fountain, watching the water shoot 200 meters into the dark sky. The air was still warm, about 31 degrees, but the humidity had finally loosened its hold, and there was a breeze coming off the Red Sea. Families were walking the corniche, kids on scooters weaving between the palm planters, and a group of young men had set up a small grill not far from the water. The city that had felt overwhelming at noon, all that heat and traffic, had softened into something almost gentle. I thought about what a Saudi friend had told me back home. In summer, Jeddah doesn't wake up until the sun goes down. That first night on the corniche, I believed her. This is day two of my 7 days in Jeddah, and I've settled into that rhythm. The mornings are for errands, the afternoons for hiding indoors with the air conditioning and a book, and the evenings for the things that make this city worth a stop. Today I'm in a small apartment I've rented for the week in Ash Shadi, the seafront district north of the old airport. It's a modest one-bedroom place, the kind of thing that runs about 2,500 riyals a month if you're staying longer, though I'm paying a bit more for the short lease. For a traveler, it's a good base. Close enough to the corniche to walk, and the Red Sea Mall is a 10-minute ride if I need anything the little corner shops can't provide. My errands today were small but necessary. I needed to swap the SIM card I'd bought at the airport for one with a longer validity, and the Mobily store in Ash Shadi sorted me out in 20 minutes. The prepaid data plans here are remarkably cheap for what you get, and the whole process took my passport and the biometric scan they'd done when I arrived. Then I stopped at a bank branching along Prince Sultan Road to make sure my transferred funds were accessible. The teller, a young Saudi woman in a black abaya, smiled when I fumbled with the Arabic numerals on the receipt. "First time in Jeddah?" she asked. I told her I was settling in, not just visiting. She nodded slowly, as if weighing the difference, and then she said, "Alila, you must see, but first you must eat." I took that as a warm invitation to lunch. She sent me to a place called Must Eatery, a few blocks off the corniche, where the menu is a playful take on Hijazi classics. I ordered a plate of mutabak, the stuffed pastry that is to Jeddah what pizza is to Naples. Mine had a filling of spiced meat and onion, folded into a thin, crispy shell, served with a wedge of lime. It cost about 16 riyals, which is maybe $4, and it was the kind of lunch that leaves you satisfied without weighing you down. The room was bright, with young Saudis typing on laptops over kawa, the lightly spiced coffee that seems to fuel the entire country. I lingered, sipping my cup and watching the traffic on Prince Sultan Road, the heat shimmering on the pavement beyond the glass. This is the Jeddah I'm beginning to know, a city of small pleasures, taken slowly, under the whir of exhaust fans and the low hum of conversation. By 4 in the afternoon, the sun is too fierce for walking, so I took a ride to the Al Balad area, the old town I'd only skimmed yesterday. This time I had a purpose, to visit the Nassif House Museum, also known as Beit Nassif, the restored merchant mansion that dates back to the 19th century. I paid a modest entry fee, about 15 riyals, and stepped into a courtyard where a tree throws shade over stone benches. The house is a marvel of coral stone construction, its Rawasheen balconies carved from teak so finely that the light falls through them in patterns. I wandered through rooms where Ibn Saud himself once stayed, the floors creaking under my feet, and I thought about how much history this building has absorbed. It's easy to forget, in the glass towers of the new city, that Jeddah has been a gateway to Mecca for over 1,000 years. The museum is a quiet reminder, and I stayed until the afternoon heat began to soften. Walking back through Al Balad's lanes, I stopped at a small cafe called Cup and Couch, which sounds Western, but is tucked inside a restored coral building with shuttered windows. I ordered a cup of local coffee, about 10 riyals, and sat near the door to watch the street. A man was selling mangoes from a cart, the season's peak, the fruit heavy and yellow. He waved at me to try a slice, and it was so sweet that the taste of it is still on my tongue. This is where I feel the pulse of Jeddah, in the narrow streets where shopkeepers pull down their shutters as the heat peaks and then roll them up again as the evening approaches. I could have stayed longer, but I had a plan for the evening, and it involved the sea. I headed back to the Corniche as the call to prayer rippled across the city. Not the amplified version you hear in some places, but a soft, human voice from a nearby mosque. I found a bench near the Al-Rama Mosque, the one they call the floating mosque because it stands on a concrete island reachable by a raised walkway. The tide was high, and the water lapped at the base as the sunset turned the sky the color of apricot. Around me, couples and families were settling onto the grass, some with picnic baskets, others with nothing but their phones to capture the light. A young boy chased a pigeon, and his mother called him back with a laugh. The air smelled of salt and, faintly, of grilled meat from a vendor on the promenade. I sat there until the last edge of the sun slipped below the Red Sea, and then I let myself be hungry. For dinner, I went to Burnt by Buns, a burger place that has become something of a local favorite, known for its patties charred over open flame. The restaurant was crowded, families at one long table, a group of friends laughing by the window. I ordered a burger with a side of fries, and the bill came to about 50 reals, which struck me as reasonable for the quality. The meat was juicy, the bun toasted, and the view of the Corniche through the glass made it taste even better. Afterward, I walked along the waterfront, where the night had fully settled and the lights of the King Fahd Fountain were dancing against a backdrop of high-rise towers. There was a palpable energy, a sense of a city enjoying its coolest hours. I passed a small stage where a band was setting up, and I lingered just long enough to hear them tune their instruments, the sound drifting over the crowd. This is the Jeddah that doesn't make the postcards. The one where a man sells mangoes at dusk, where a bank teller gives you food advice, where a burger joint by the sea feels like the center of the world on a summer night. It's a city that asks you to slow down, to wait out the heat, to let the evening unfold on its own terms. As I walked back toward my apartment, a stray cat crossed my path and stopped to stare at me. I laughed and kept going, leaving the sound of the fountain behind. Tomorrow, I continue the paperwork, the national address, the Apsher registration, but I'm also plotting the next leg, the climb up into the Sarawat Mountains that Saudis themselves escape to in this heat. The road from Jeddah winds east through the coastal plain, then rises sharply into the highlands, where the temperature drops by 15 degrees or more. I'm told that the misty valleys of Assur, with their stone villages and terraced fields, are a world apart from the humidity I'm about to leave. But I'm not quite ready to go. Tonight, as I open the door to my flat and hear the fan whir in the stillness, I feel the first small sense of place. Not of a hotel room you pass through, but of a city you might actually live in, with its rhythms and its lit-up nights. I've got a few more days here and 1,000 more things to taste. But for now, I think I'll sit by the window, watch the lights along the Corniche, and let this Red Sea city have the last word. One last thing before I close. If you're thinking of coming, you don't need an extensive itinerary. The tourist visa is straightforward, available online for Americans and many others, and it covers your first 90 days. A day in Jeddah costs less than you'd think. Maybe 200 rials for meals, a museum entry, a coffee, and a ride across town. That's about $50, and you'll get a taste of a city that's been welcoming travelers for over a millennium. Marhaba, Jeddah. I'll be back before I know it.